Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Make it concrete. Give it substance. Faith is the substance of things. There's nothing that exists without faith. There's nothing in the spirit realm that exists without faith. There's nothing in your life that exists without faith. God spoke in faith, believing that when he spoke, there would be a manifestation of all that he said. Everything exists because of faith. You have to understand how to operate in faith. 2 Samuel 1:21, it talks about Saul. It says he died. It said the mighty were there, cast away there. The shield of Saul was there, not anointed with oil. Saul's fall was because he didn't care for his shield. Now you got to drench your shield with water and you got to soak it with oil. And if you keep that process, your shield will always be ready to deal with every single attack of the enemy. Now if you're going to take somebody out, you could step on their toe and it might hurt them. You could pinch their arm and they might say, ouch. But if you really want to take them out, a good blow to the head is a good place to start. And that's why you need a helmet on your head of salvation. I mean, you can punch people all over the place, but a good poke in the eye, boy, that'll really get somebody's attention. You know what I mean? And the devil, he's going to go headhunting. And he goes headhunting for you all the time because really you are the sum of your thoughts. He wants to attack where you're thinking. He wants to get thoughts in your head. He wants to accuse you, beat you down, tell you all kinds of lies about yourself, because if he can get you to agree with him, then you'll start behaving like those thoughts. So the enemy always attacks there. And Jesus was crucified where? At the place of Golgotha. He was crucified at the place of the skull. And that's why you got to keep a crucified mind, a mind that is subject to Christ. So it's always good to have that helmet of salvation. Cheryl did an awesome job of talking about the helmet of salvation. And it says, protect your head, and salvation protects your mind. A revelation of that salvation keeps your head strong. And take up the helmet of salvation, soteria, deliverance, preservation from danger, safety, and wholeness. I love this from Dr. Carolyn Leaf, Who Switched Off Your Brains, fantastic book. Here's what she said. She said, your genes provide a blueprint. But it says, but they hand then over control to the brain. Man, you are right now, you are manifesting what you're thinking. Isn't that kind of scary? That's really bizarre. In your life, you know, that literally means this. And you know, as they study the brain more and more and more, it makes the Bible clearer and clearer. Because as a man thinks, so he is. That was in the Bible. That wasn't science figured that out. That was God, because he made us. But as you think, so you are. Your thinking determines your destiny, because your thinking ends up being how you act, how you behave. And you know what? You can actually control your thinking, because the Lord commands you, gird up the loins of your mind. Loins of your mind. How many knew you had loins in your mind? It's loins in your mind, because the loins are the creative place, right? So that's where you're creating your whole world. You're creating your life in your head. Then you got to gird up. You got to control what goes in there, because you know what? Garbage in, garbage out. You know, you get the good stuff in, you get the good stuff out. So that's pretty amazing. That's really a strong, strong quote when you think about it, because you can think your way out of any situation then. And you know what? Here's something else. You ready? You can really think good, because here's what else the word says. You have the mind of Christ. You can think your way not only out of, but through to a place and a realm of victory and conquering all the time, because you are equipped with the helmet of salvation. Settle down. My God, easy now. There's visitors. You don't want to scare anybody. Our mind is our command and control center. It's a personal onboard computer. It is the center of our controls. It controls our actions and our feelings. Hello? Well, I just feel. Well, tell yourself to feel different. Don't ask yourself how you feel today. Tell yourself how you feel. Wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, and go, oh my God. Or say, oh my God. It's all in the inflection, isn't it? And when you look in the mirror, just tell yourself, I'm awesome. I'm doing great things today. I'm going to establish the kingdom of God today. Devil, I'm about to take out your territory. I'm about to take the kingdom and establish it everywhere I go. Ooh-ah! Wow, that was pretty interesting. I don't know what happened there. All right. Listen, Dr. Lee said, within 4 days of correct thinking, you can reverse negative things and grow your brain at will. Wow. If you're negative, stop it. Just say some positive. Take control of the negative thoughts. Go beep. Put it down and replace it with a positive thought. And you will, at will, at your will, you will literally shape a better world. And you'll be a lot more fun to be with. How many think some of the people around you could be a lot more fun to be with? Wow, boy. All right, that's good. So Cheryl talked about what the helmet does, what it accomplishes. It's a recovery of your mind through revelation, through renovation, through relocation, and through repositioning all those thoughts in your head. And if you didn't hear that, you need to pick up that series and pick up this whole series, because it's killer. It really, really is. All right. So we're going to step into the sword of the Spirit. Are you ready to step into the sword of the Spirit? All right, the sword of the Spirit. Now, National Geographic, this is right out of National Geographic. They did an article recently about the Alaskan bull moose. It says the males of the species battle for dominance during the fall breeding season, literally going head to head with antlers crunching together as they collide. How many have actually watched that on the Nature Channel and stuff? See that hand? Thank you. I see that hand. Yes, I see that. Thank you. Praise the Lord. All right. So, crunching their heads together as they collide. Often the antlers are their only weapon, and often these are broken. That ensures defeat. The heftiest moose with the largest and strongest antlers is the moose who triumphs in every occasion. Therefore, the battle fought in the fall is really won during the summer when the moose eat continually. In the summer, when the moose eat continually. All right, I have to hold that thought. The one that consumes the best diet for growing antlers and gaining weight will be the heavyweight in the fight. Those who eat inadequate sport, they end up inadequately sport weaker antlers and less bulk. Amen. May the Lord bless National Geographic. So what's the point, Pastor? The point is you are what you eat. Especially in their case, it says that their diet, the strong antlers, developing those big horns, becoming those big studmeister mooses. The guy who wins is the guy who had the proper diet. And I'll tell you something, it's the same way in the kingdom of God. You are what you eat. And if you'll get into the Word of God, and if you'll devour the Word of God, whether you're winning battles or losing battles has a great deal to do with what you're feeding on. You know what? You're manifesting what's really going on in your life. You're manifesting right now what kind of a diet you're eating and who you're letting dominate your thought life. But here's the sword. It is the sword of the Spirit. The more you sweat in training, the less you bleed in battle. The more you sweat in training, the less you bleed in battle. Those are some of the great signs that my coach put on the wall for football. He had another one. He says, nobody is yet to drown in their own sweat. There was a few days I said, I was close. I was really close. But I tell you, the effort that you're giving to the Word of God, your life, is a clear demonstration of how much of the Word you're devouring. And you know, we charismatics get a bit lazy. We really do. You know, we pick on, other folks who don't have the understanding of the Spirit that we do. You know, I pick on those folks who are, dispensationalists or cessationists, and they say the work of the Spirit was done when the Bible was finished. That's why a lot of those groups don't speak in tongues, because they don't believe you have to. They believe that completeness came, maturity came when the Word was finished and canonized. When the Word was canonized and developed in, the year 2 or 200 or 250, they decided that was it. You didn't need spiritual revelation anymore because we had the Bible. So what you had with those folks is they have a Trinity, but it's Father, Son, and Holy Book. That's the Trinity. Now, we might say that's terrible. We have the Spirit. But you know what? I find the people who have Father, Son, and Holy Book, they read the Holy Book a lot. Whether you believe in the work of the Spirit or not, if you get a lot of the Holy Book in you, you got an awful lot of stuff for the Holy Spirit to work in. You got a lot of charismatics, don't read their Bibles. They're always, in some weird, freaky trance, And then they don't judge those trances and weird things that they get, and they're off running around flakes, nuts, and fruits all over the place. And, they don't subject some of that stuff to the Word of God. That's extra-biblical revelation. It's all got to be judged and figured out. And what I love being a people of the Spirit. I love that we want the fullness of the Spirit, every manifestation, every gift, every demonstration of the Spirit. But I'm telling you, none of that replaces the necessity to be devouring the Word, big, massive gobs and chunks of it. All right, so the sword of the Spirit. It says the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, Ephesians 6, 17. In the Amplified, it says, and the sword that the Spirit wields. I like that. It says, and the sword of the Spirit, but in the Amplified, it says the sword the Spirit wields, which is interesting here. None of the others had this extra description. It was the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth. But here you have the sword of the Spirit, and you have this extra description, which is the word of God. So, and I love what the Amplified says. It says, the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the word of God. You see, so the Spirit of God, if he's going to be active in your life, if he's going to be manifesting spiritual things in your life, that's going to be directly related to how much you're devouring the Word of God. The Spirit can't swing anything. He can't be active with you. He can't be manifesting things of God in your life if you don't have some Word in you. Thank you for that. Amen. You're doing good today, Byron. Come on. It's awesome. Keep on shouting it up. All right, the word sword is the word makara. Makara. One place it says, the transliteration is all like makahira, but it's pronounced makara. And a makara is a small double-edged sword used for cutting and thrusting in hand-to-hand combat. It's not one of those great big swords that you swing at a long distance. God didn't give you a rocket launcher. He didn't give you grenades and bombs. He didn't give you one of those great big mechanisms that you crank up, woo, and shoot. But he says the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is for hand-to-hand combat. Sword of the Spirit is one nasty weapon that you use in intense, intimate situations, which means you're not trying to run away from the devil. You're trying to catch up with him and give him a slice and a chop and a boom and a bang, and it's something that you use there. Now, historians said this. Listen, historians said that the double-edged sword was such a radical new invention in warfare that it had the same effect as the atom bomb in their time. When I read that, I thought that was incredible. I mean, so Paul in their day was basically saying, if we put it in our day, I mean, they had one incredible, intimate weapon. It was the newest, most fanciest, most powerful, most deadliest, most fearful thing that had yet to exist. What you've got is a sword that is the most fearful, deadliest thing that I could ever describe. You have got the most intense, powerful weapon for hand-to-hand combat, so you can be powerful, you can be successful, and you can win in every occasion. I mean, this was a fearful, nasty sword, and it was almost 18 inches to 2 feet long. That's how long it was. It wasn't like something, you know, like, woo, you fight from a distance. You come right in close, and we're done with this. The word of God is written so that it might be spoken. The word of God is written so that it might be spoken. The word of God is written so that it might be spoken. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, the word of God, it says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we speak. You see, when you get the word of the Lord and God gives you that revelation, he didn't give you that revelation to hang on to. He gave you that revelation so that it could finally get to your mouth and it could get to the place of confession. He wants to get it on your mouth. If faith is going to work and the word is going to work, you've got to declare it and you have to speak it. The word was written so that it might be spoken. Now, two basic words used for the word, all right? Two basic words used for the word of God. Number one is logos and the other is rhema. Logos means the written word and rhema means the spoken, specific, quickened word. So there is a logos and there is a rhema. So the Logos is the Word of God, and you get the written Word of God, the specific, creative, living, written Word of God, but that Word only becomes effective when that Word becomes rhema, because the Word was written to be spoken. So the Word of God is living and active and powerful. The Logos in Hebrews 1 verse 2, it says, in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. Jesus was the Logos. It says in John 1:1, it says, and in the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. It says, and the Logos became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the living word. That means every time you open the Bible, every time you open it, it's like, it's amazing. It's like, it's a living word. What's so amazing about it is literally whatever you got to do, get it in you. Because when you're taking in the Word of God, you're literally taking in God himself. You are taking God on the inside of you. You are taking in the living Word of God. Isn't it awesome? Wow, just go ahead. Just it's I know it's weird. They do all kinds of things, but I don't know how you get it in, but sometimes I just like to go. Man, that was a good one. Hey? It is a living word. When you read that word, I mean, open it up and devour it. Get it into you. Take it in. You know what it also says? Another thing about the word? It says the word is the breath of God. You know, and you know when it says, let me know the kisses of your mouth? You know what he's saying there? The kisses of your mouth is a type of the word of God. So literally, when you get into the word, you're getting mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. If you feel dull and you feel like, oh, I can barely make it, when you open the word, it's like, that was good. Just go ahead, try that yourself, because I don't think you believe me. You just think it's letters on a page. It's just stuff on a page. But I'm telling you, it's the word of God. Oh, man. That's good. He's a strange one, my God. Yeah. Right, the word of God, the Logos. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent and present yourself approved to God, a worker who need not be ashamed, who rightly divides the word of truth. So here you got on one side people of shame, on the other side people who do not need to be ashamed. What do you got? What do you got in the middle? What determines what side of the podium you're on? Shame or no shame? The word of God. When you study the word and you know how to rightly divide that word, that'll make sure that you're not going to be ashamed. That'll make sure that your life's going to work. Hello. I get disturbed when people tell me it's not working for me. No, it works. Hey, the word works. The word of God, when you are taking in deep drafts of the word of God and you're taking in the Holy Spirit and all that, I'm telling you, if you're doing that properly, it works. Now, look at this. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. But the word, the Logos, which they heard, it did not profit them. So you're telling me, Pastor, that I can sit under the word, I can take in the word, I can read the word, and I can study the word, and I can actually do all of that work with the word and it not profit me. Yes. There's people week after week sit under wonderful sermons in this place and still go live wretched lives. They're still incredibly successful. But you know what? It doesn't trouble me too much. It troubles me a great deal, but I get over it. I don't get too frustrated. Because, you know, God himself spoke to these folks. God was revealing himself to these folks. I mean, there's a pillar of fire by night, a cloud by day. He's declaring himself. I mean, there's tangible evidence. They're getting water from a rock every day. Manna is coming out every morning. And these people, with that kind of a manifestation, walked away from God. And you might think, wow, if I had that, I'd probably serve God. You got better than that because you got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. You got way better than the old covenant. And yet we successfully fall on our heads. Why? Very simply, it's because they did not mix the word with faith. If you're approaching the word without an expectation that it's going to revolutionize your wife, if you're approaching the word and expecting it not to change your wife, let me read some scriptures to you, honey. Snort some of that. That was an interesting slip, wasn't it? My God. If you're reading the word and not expecting it to change your wife, you're not reading the word in faith. You got to mix the word. You know what? You have to mix the word with faith or it will be of no profit to you. Come on. So we got to be walking in the word with faith. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how to do some of that. So the Logos alone will not profit you. There's faith needed. See, Jesus was the living word. He came to the earth. He manifest himself. And every manifestation of the word that you need, because Hebrews says, Jesus is the final word. There's no other manifestation necessary because he is the final word. He is it. I mean, God has spoken now through his son. I mean, he's the final word. But you know what? You could hear the Logos. You could see the Logos. And so many people saw Jesus, and yet they rejected him. Do you know what? Seeing the Logos, having a relationship even with the Logos, does not guarantee you that it's going to have any effect in your life. There's got to be faith mixed with the word of God for it to be manifest in your life. So you got to go to the word believing that in this book there are living powerful answers. This book is a living powerful arsenal. In this book there is a sword. There is a mahara. There is a word from God that when you get it in your mouth, it will revolutionize your life. And when you go out there expecting that I'm going into the tool shed of heaven, I'm going into the armories of the Most High, and I'm going to bring out of there a sword that will change my world. Got to read the Bible today. Let's see, where should we go? Thank you, Lord. May you bless the reading here. Oh, and you go at it because this is my life. I mean, I need some mouth to mouth. I need, you are the air I breathe. That'll change your life. So then faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. That word of God is rhema. How does faith come? I need faith, so how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing over and over, not just once, but hearing and hearing. That's why you need to buy this series. Because you need to hear it again. You need to listen to it over and over again. You need to get, if you're lacking in an area of revelation, you should get some spoken word on it. And you should listen to it over and over again. And it'll revolutionize and change your life. But the word, the logos, which they heard didn't work, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhemas of God. So the logos was written, why? Holy Mackinac, who said that? Atlanta gets a star. The word of God was written so that it might be spoken. Everybody say it together. The word of God was written so that it might be. I'm telling you, even you need to confess the word of God. Because when you confess what you read, you are speaking over yourself the word of God. And when you're confessing the word of God, you're going to build up your faith in whatever area you need. If you believe you have what you have asked for, then you get it. Now that sounds backward, doesn't it? Well, I want to get it first and then I'll believe it. No, if you believe you have what you've asked for, then you will get it. When? When is then? Then is after you believe you already got it. So what do I got to do? I got to confess I have it because your word says it, and you watch over your word to perform it. Therefore, whatever your word says is mine. I confess it. I agree with your word. And when you agree with the word of God, you release faith and you bring into manifestation the unseen thing that you desire. All right, Matthew chapter 4. Rhema. Okay, what is rhema? Rhema is a word of faith spoken or uttered, a specific, operative, all-powerful word or command of God in the mouth of a spiritual person at the time they need it. The communicator's commentary. I know just reading stuff, sometimes you get dopey and sleepy. It's just about a three-sentence quote. Listen to this from the communicator's commentary. Says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In the New Testament, the Word of God is never a general reference to the Holy Scriptures. It means the Word which God gives us to speak. We must be rooted in Scripture, for Scripture is the primary source of God's Word. The challenge of Paul's suggestions is that the Christian may be open to and can depend on receiving the needed Word from God. Our sword, then, is the Bible, but it's more. It is the Word of the Bible made alive by the Spirit for the edification, for witness, for admonition, and for the exhortation of others. See, it's a word that comes, it's a word that you meditate on, that you get revelation on, and then when that revelation is full blown, you start to declare those things and confess those things and see them come into manifestation. Thank you, Pastor. Rhema, a word of faith spoken. Isaiah 58:11, the Lord will guide you continually, and he will satisfy your soul in drought, and he will strengthen your bones. You shall be like a well-watered garden. Why you got that one in there, Pastor? Because I used that scripture. One day, I was looking at my son, and he was playing hockey, and he was a good hockey player. And all of a sudden, he started to kind of skate funny. So I thought, why is he doing that? And so I thought maybe it was his skates, because it almost looked like one blade had gone over funny. So I took him out, and I got him new skates. And we got the new skates, but he was still doing it. And so I said, why are you skating like that? And he said, my knee hurts. And your knee hurts? What's the deal with that? We took him and got an x-ray, and they said his knee is fine. So his knee's fine. So we're out again, and he's playing around. I notice he's even now walking a bit funny. And then I went, what's the deal with that? And I said, what's going on? He says, my leg feels funny. I said, this is wrong. So we took him to another specialist, and he took him and put him up on a table, and he pushed his legs back, grabbed him underneath his knees, and pushed his legs back. And right away, Dylan went, ah! And he went, he's got hip perthes. I went, hip perthes? I said, what's a hip perthes? He said, it's strange. It's a non-traumatic disease that affects mostly kids between It's mostly boys, too, between the ages of like 6 to 10, in around there, and it comes on for no known reason, and then it disappears again. So, but in the meantime, the flow of blood has ceased to go to your son's hip, so the bone is not getting sustained, so your son's hip is dying. The femoral head of the hip, the femoral head, like where your hip joins in that socket, the femoral head was getting no blood. So the femoral head, instead of being rounded, because there was nothing there, no blood flow, it was literally dying. And because it was dying, it was becoming flattened. And every time he walked on it, he could feel pain. And I went, my God. How do you know? You know, you touch me, that's fine. I can handle it. You touch my kids, I'm just going to smack you. That's just wrong. So I said, well, that's not good. So you know what we did? I can remember the day we did it, too. That's so clear to me. We went upstairs to my son's room. I said, we're not going to put up with this, Dylan. So we got out scriptures. I typed out, it's good to have little computer programs. Eh? You can type out all the scriptures on bones. And I found there's all kinds of promises in God's word about bones. You know, if you got a bone condition, there is a sword in the Bible that deals with bone conditions. You, whatever condition you have, you can find in the Bible a sword that will deal with that. And you can do hand-to-hand combat with the devil, and you can say, get off my son's life right now. And see, I got authority because he was still my boy. He's living in my house. You know what? Devil, you dirty dog. You try to pick on my son, I'm going to come at you. And I remember we took this word right here. I said, the Lord will guide you continually. And I read it, and we confessed it together. And I said, and he will satisfy you, your soul in a drought, and he will strengthen your bones. You will be like a well-watered garden. So I commanded those bones. I don't care what nasty, ugly scheme is going on right now, but I insist right now that you yield to the word of God. I confess right now with my mouth the word of God over my son. So what was coming? What is Jesus? When Jesus is coming, what's coming out of his mouth? A two-edged sword. You know what? The sword of the Spirit comes out of your mouth. When you start to confess the word of God, there is a sword that is coming out of your mouth, and it is cutting off and wrecking every single attack of the enemy on your life. But we learned to use that sword, and it was amazing because right there while we confessed that, it was like I was taken in. It was like I was able. It's like I became miniaturized, and I went whoop, and I went bang. I went right into my son's hip, and I was able to totally see his hip. It was almost like whoop, I got sucked in, and I could see his hip. And as I was saying that, it says, your bones, your strength will, and he will strengthen your bones. I literally saw his bone become restored and be corrected. You know what? You got to believe you have it before you get it. And it was so powerful that I literally went, whoop, I pulled back and went, holy cow. I was like, did you feel that? And you know what? Both of us said, it's done. It's done. And you know what? It took a while to fully manifest, but they told us that by 18, he's going to have a hip replacement, that he's going to have to be put in an A-frame. He may have to be taken into a hospital and strapped up in a bed. We're going to have to take all the pressure off that joint or the joint will die. Well, we took him back a couple years later. We had these repeat visits to the doctor. The doctor, oh, she's going pretty good. It looks pretty good. And we went back this time. We went back. He took some x-rays. Went, it looks pretty good. He might have limited rotation this way. Oh, I guess not. Well, he might have a difficulty with, oh, that's okay too. Well, he might have, oh, well, I think your son's pretty good to go. Yeah, and that's, you folks have been around long enough, you know that period where, you know, Dylan run around playing hockey, kind of dragging his foot a bit. But, you know, his hip was totally restored. And you see, you know how we attacked that? With the word. We got the sword of the Spirit, and we attacked that thing, and we nailed it. Because you know what? The word of God works. But you know what? You got to mix it with faith. You got to believe that. You got to step into that with everything in you, and you got to go for it. So, let's see. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. It is written. And why is it written? Thank you. Turn to your neighbor and just say, wake up. It is written. And why is it written? How many people are suffering from lockjaw right now? How many people just have, who's suffering from I can't open my mouth and speak? Just who is that? Who is? Okay, the word of God is written to be. Thank you very much. So now you heard it, you've seen it, and you said it yourself. You might just hang on to that one. Here's Jesus. We're going to go over this next week. But Jesus, when he was going through the temptation, here it is. It says, Matthew 4, 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. So we don't just live by the word, we live by the proceeding word. Which means we don't just live by the word, we live by the preceding word of God, the word that is current, the word that is present, because the word is not something that is dead and not alive, it is a living, powerful word. And you see, you don't know all the truth, but I tell you, all truth is going to be revealed. And there is a word right now that is present day, that is powerful, and we're to live by the preceding word. The word precedes. Abraham had a word, kill your son. He went up in the mountain, God had another word, don't kill your son, kill the ram. No, I've got the word already. You have to be in the current word. You have to be in the preceding word. A lot of people get stubborn. I got the word. I got the revelation. You know, and their minds are like steel traps. You got to be willing to walk with the preceding word. Luke chapter 1, 37 and 38. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Now, who is that? That's Mary. Mary has this great visitation. The angel said, you're going to give birth to the Son of God. And she's like, whoa, that's pretty interesting. How's that going to happen? Not I don't believe it's going to happen, but tell me how. He said, for no word of God. Literally, if you check that out in your Greek lexicon there, you'll find out that that word nothing is no rhema. So what he's saying is, for with God, no rhema will be impossible. There's not a word that comes from the mouth of God that is impossible. Every word God speaks has power to accomplish that for which he spoke it. So he said, there is no rhema from heaven that is impossible. There is no word from God that is not also backed up with all the power of heaven to manifest the kingdom. If you've got a word in the Bible, if God put it in here, he wrote it down so that you could speak it. And when you speak it, it becomes powerful and active. And no word from God is without power to accomplish the kingdom. And then what did she say? Let it be unto me according to the rhema. You spoke a rhema. I received the rhema. She said, I agree with the rhema from heaven. You know, when somebody speaks over you and says that they got a word of knowledge that you got some affliction, they didn't get that just so they could know you're afflicted. They got it because God wants to deal with it. And when they pray for you and they speak over you and say that you're healed in the name of Jesus, you got to say, let it be unto me according to your word. I get too many people go, bam, you're healed. They go, I hope so. And I tell you, you prayed for me last week and nothing happened. Anyways, nice try, Pastor. You know, the same word came to Elizabeth's husband, and he said, I doubt that. And he said, you doubt that? So you know what he said? I'm not going to let you speak anymore. Because you know what? Faith works by speaking. And if you're going to be speaking doubt, misery, and unbelief from now on, I'm going to shut you up. And he came out of there. They said, what happened in there? He's like, He couldn't speak until the child was born. And his mouth was only open because he was ready to agree with the word of heaven. And as soon as he agreed with the word of heaven, they said, well, we're going to name him after your granddaddy. And he went, done! His mouth was open because he agreed with heaven. And you know, if you're not going to speak the proper word, just shut up. If you can't agree with the word of God, then don't say anything. You're healed. Get that helmet of salvation on. Get it on right. You got the mind of Christ. Line up with the word of God. You're healed. I'm healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. How are you feeling? I'm healed. Glory to God. You don't look healed. Well, I am. Hallelujah. Well, that's foolishness. You bet it is. Because faith doesn't work by senses. It works by nonsense. If you're unwilling to step in the realm of nonsense, you'll never see a manifestation of heaven. Okay, that was good, Pastor. We're moving on really fast. How many are enjoying yourself so far? All right, everybody else can go. The word was written so that it might be. Praise God, we got somewhere today. All right. The rhema protects you defensively. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces even the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is the most powerful weapon that exists because it can go into the unseen realm. Did you know that you can? What you see is this guy out here, your earth stupid. Inside, there's a soul and a spirit. And inside, your soul is always, you know, messed up because it's getting tugged by the flesh, but it's also getting tugged by the spirit. But areas where your soul is not hooked up to the spirit, it can come and it can divide those areas. It can come so that you're not going to live out of the soul man, but the spirit man is going to dominate. And it's a defensive thing, because when the devil speaks to you, sometimes it's not that you're speaking to him, you're speaking to you. It's not that he needs to know. He actually already knows the word. When he lies to you, he's trying to say what you see, what you think. He'll lie to you, and when he tells you that lie, you can now protectively speak a word of God about that. Devil, okay, I'm going to get that sword out, devil. He can't stand that sword. He can't stand that sword, because it is a weapon of mass destruction for the kingdom of darkness. And when you go ready to pull that out, he's gone. So you got to know that that is an area where the devil tries to get you tied up in the flesh and in the soulless realm. But the spirit, the word of God, it comes and it divides between soul and spirit and allows you to be ruled by the spirit man. Now the rhema also attacks, and it's an offensive weapon. It says, while Peter was still speaking the rhema, the Holy Spirit fell upon them who heard the word. While Peter was speaking the rhema, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were hearing the logos. Our word is nice, and that's all good. But I'm telling you, if you speak the word of the Lord, he watches over his word to perform it. If you declare his word, signs and wonders will follow. If you declare the words of the kingdom, you'll see the kingdom come in manifestation. So the word of God is that powerful offensive weapon that you can use. And that's in Acts chapter. Did I not put the reference up there? That was in Acts chapter 10 when he was preaching there in the house of Cornelius. Now the word of God is an arsenal. In 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, it says, for the weapons of a warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now I'm almost done. Amen. What did he just say? Now, more people knew what I just said there than the people who said, it is written so that it might be. This tells you where your mindset is. Your mind is set on lunch and not to grow in the spirit. I say repent. All right, now listen, here it is. The first attack of the enemy is always on the word of God. The enemy's first attack is always on the word of God. The enemy really wants to dropkick God, but he can't touch God. He can't harm God. He can't hurt God. He doesn't have the ability to even come close. I mean, God just goes, bing, it's all over. So he can't do a thing against the Almighty. So what does he do? He tries to mess with his creation. And he tries to mess with you. Now, God gave you the word that it was written so that it might be spoken. Because when you speak it, you speak power, you speak authority, and you create your world. But you see, what the enemy tries to do is because he knows that. He knows how powerful the word is. He knows that if you get that revelation of the word and you start using it, he's done. So what does he try to do right away? He attacks the word. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. First time the enemy got involved with God's creation, he comes walking up and he says, did God really say that? Because right away, that's what he says. Because, you know, God will speak to you and a revelation will come. You might go share that with some deadhead. And they'll say, I don't think God really means that. That would be some deadhead speaking inspired by the pit of hell. I just went to church and they said, I can get a word of healing. I can get rid of this disease in my bones because God promised he would strengthen my bones. Oh, come on now. Surely you don't believe that. That's right from the pit of hell. And you got to stand up on the word and go, you don't have to rebuke them or get ugly with them or say, I rebuke you. Or although Jesus did, he said, get thee behind me, Satan, to Peter. That's always a good way to make friends. Get thee behind me, Satan. That's good. You know, I just kind of nod and smile and go, that's nice. Yeah, so if you've heard me say that a lot to you, that's nice. You're probably annoying. Okay, so... So he said to the woman, he said, has God indeed said that? Has he really said that? Right? So the devil wants to steal the word. In 1 Samuel 13:19, now there was no blacksmith. What the Philistines did was they destroyed every single blacksmith in Israel. Why did they do that? They got rid of all the blacksmiths in the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, let's get them away, lest the Hebrews make swords and spears. See, the Philistines are a type of the devil. What's the devil do? He wants to get the word out of your hand because he knows, unfortunately a lot of believers don't know, but he knows that the word in the hand of a believer might just get read, and if that word gets read, it just might get spoken, and if it gets spoken, the kingdom of darkness is in big trouble. Now you remember sword drills. You remember sword drills? How many of you have ever had a sword drill? Put up your hand really high if you've done a sword drill. Don't you love sword drills? You know what a sword drill is? In the Bible, not with your finger in the middle trying to cheat. You know, and then the guy would cry out, he'd say, Hezekiah 4:13, go! Well, that's not a book of the Bible, so if you're returning, shame on you. Okay. But then he'd say it, he'd shout it, and then you'd shout it back, and then he'd say, draw! And you'd go as fast as you could, and then you'd jump up, the first one to jump up and start reading it, he won. You remember those things? That was powerful, wasn't it? I mean, that was good stuff. What were they doing? They were teaching you that, you know what, answers to life are in the Word. Every situation you come in touch with, every place, anywhere, you got a word for that, and you need to learn how to go to the Word, because it's a sword drill. Amen. Everybody get your Bible. Hold it on the spine right now. Come on. Where's your Bible? Who's coming to church without a Bible? What's the matter with you? My God. If you haven't got a Bible, come see me and I'll get you one. All right? You got? Are you ready? No iPhones. That's cheating. You were ready though, weren't you? BlackBerry. All right. Ready? Everybody ready? Ready? Repeat after me. Ruth. 4:11. Draw! Ruth is a hard one, isn't it? Whoever gets it first, jump up, start reading. Start reading, jump up. Good for you, Jeff. I'm glad one of the elders did it. That's the way it should be. Glory to God. What was the point of that, Pastor? Nothing at all. It was just a little break in the sermon. But the enemy attacks the Word. You got to get the Word. He tries to get the Word out of your hands. Now listen, Mark 4:15. This is the last scripture. You ready? The last scripture. I still got 25 points, but it's the last scripture. No, I'm done, really. I'm done. We'll take up the rest next week. You ready? Look what it says. Satan comes immediately to take away the Word. What's he talking about? That was the parable of the sower. And Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand anything? See, because this is how it works. You get the Word of God in your heart. That word that you get in your heart, I hid his word in my heart that I might not sin against him. Your word is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my path, a light unto my feet. If you get the Word of God on something, you're going to be powerful. You're going to be successful. You're going to prosper. You're going to move forward. You're going to manifest the kingdom of heaven. So what does the enemy always come to steal? He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. What does he come to steal? He always comes to steal the Word. But you know what? When you got the sword of the Spirit, and you know how to swing that baby, and you know how to get results, and you know how to exercise your faith to bring it into manifestation, you can wreck the kingdom of darkness. Thank you, Pastor. All right, could you just kind of close your eyes and bow your heads? Repeat after me. The Word was written so that it might be. Oh, praise the Lord. Who's going to speak it? Man, I can't believe how enlarged my spirit was just to hear that. Because if you really believe that, you're going to change your world this week. I mean, if you really believe that and you're desperate enough, you'll change your world today. Oh, man. It's awesome stuff. Just heads bowed, eyes closed. Let me give you a word. You ready? Here's a word. I want to give you this word. It's John 3:16. It's a great word, and it's powerful. It's a sharp word. And it's going to go forth now and just have incredible power. You ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, you will not perish, but you will have eternal life. Wow. That's a powerful word. For God so loves you. He gave his own Son for you. He judged in his Son. The world was judged in Jesus. And he did all of that so that anything at all offensive that you may have done, past, present, or future, he's able to put it all on Jesus. And he's able to say to you that I now declare you righteous. But you know what you have to do? Just like it says, the word profits nothing if it's not mixed with faith. What you have to do now is hear that word and say, man, that's a good word. I like that. And I want that to be manifest in my life. Well, for that word to be manifest in your life, it says you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. He is a good God and he loves you. And he wants to bring you fully into his kingdom right now. If you don't know Jesus today, he's not your Lord and your Savior. You can't say that with absolute assurance. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. If you don't know that, listen to me. I want you to confess him as Lord today. If you think maybe I did, I don't know. I'm just not absolutely sure, Pastor. You can have the absolute assurance today that you are a child of God. The devil's been lying to you. He's trying to take that seed from you. He's trying to say that you're not really in. You've not really made it. But I want to give you that assurance today that you can confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and it's done. Salvation has come to your house. Now, if on any of those things you're not sure, you can't absolutely say he's the Lord of my life. If that's you, I need you to do something. I need you to exercise your faith and release it right now. How do I do that, Pastor? I just want you to raise your hand. I'm going to count to three. And if that's you, would you raise your hand so I can see it? Thank you. Anyone else right now, raise your hand all across the place. One, two, three, now. Lift your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus. Would you all do something for me? Would you all pray with me? I want these folks to put their hands up. I want them to walk out here knowing today that they're a child of God, that they're born again. Would you pray this with me? Just say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sin. Thank you that I can confess you with my mouth, and I can believe in my heart, and I am saved. So now, I confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin. Fill me with your Spirit. I declare right now that I am a child of God.